Stroke, cerebrovascular accident. This means a loss of brain function due to disturbances or impairments in the circulation of blood to the brain. Usually when we talk about it, we think about two types, ischemic. This is the most common type of stroke, and it's due to interruption of the blood supply, and hemorrhagic, which is when you actually rupture a blood vessel supplying the brain. When we think about risk factors, there are several risk factors, definitely genetics, hereditary, high blood pressure, increased blood pressure, increased lipids, and age. And if we think about the normal homeostasis, well, obviously, normally your blood should be supplied to the brain, because the brain needs it for a good supply of oxygen, which it uses for energy and also nutrients. Much of the energy is used by mitochondria, or produced by the mitochondria. They make ATP, and it's used to run in particular lots of pumps, active transport pumps, sodium potassium pumps, pumps to pump calcium out of cells. And when we think about proteins, well, we're going to talk about a neurotransmitter called glutamate. It's not a protein, but it's actually an amino acid. And we're going to talk about the receptors involved for this protein, different types of receptors and their proteins. And then the pumps, the active transport pumps, which are found in the cell membrane or in the mitochondria, are also made of proteins. And glutamate is a very important neurotransmitter in the brain. Obviously, it's passing messages from cell to cells, and it's involved in memory, etc. When we think about how glutamate works, it's an excitatory neurotransmitter widely distributed throughout the brain. And usually it's removed from the synapse by active reuptake transporters, which require energy. It binds onto two different types of receptors, AMPA receptors, which when activated are sodium channels, they allow sodium to come in, and NMDA receptors, which require another neurotransmitter as well, but basically they control channels for calcium, allowing calcium into the cell. So what happens when you actually suffer from a stroke? Well, the first thing is it's due to, if we're looking at the ischemic one, the interruption of blood supply, usually it's due to a blockage of a blood vessel. Most commonly, this will be due to a thrombus. It may or may not occur in the vessel actually supplying the brain. It could come from the heart, say, and then move around the body. So often caused by atherosclerosis. And this is most common in the carotid arteries where they branch. And then what will happen is you obviously, if you don't have the right supply of blood to the brain, you're going to suffer from a reduction in oxygen supply, and you're not going to be able to make enough energy. And if you don't have enough energy, you're not going to be able to remove the glutamate reuptake mechanisms to take the glutamate back into the presynaptic cell. And an excess of glutamate in the synapse is going to be acting as a neurotoxin. So what happens now is it binds onto the receptors, and the sodium channels are open, causing depolarization, and then the NMDA channels will open, and when glutamate binds to those, calcium will be able to enter the cell. Often it's accompanied by water coming in, so your brain cells swell. Calcium balance is regulated by energy, and if you don't have enough energy, you can't pump the calcium out of the cell. The mitochondria also regulate calcium concentration in the cell. They also have transport mechanisms in their cell membrane. And again, if there's no energy, those can't run. So basically, your cell becomes overloaded with calcium, and it starts to activate enzymes, and those will damage mitochondrial structures. More calcium diffuses in, ECF to ICF, can't get out. Many enzymes in the cell are regulated by calcium, and overload causes these enzyme cascades, and you disrupt the function and you damage your cell membrane. And the loss of function will depend on the part of the brain which is affected, so which area is ischemic. For example, if it was blood vessels in the medulla region, then that would affect respiration and cardiac functions, and that would be incredibly serious. And then finally, in terms of risk factors, when we think about this disease, it's definitely often a mismatched disease. When you think about atherosclerosis, for example, definitely related to diet, the fact that we've got an abundance of food and not enough exercise, foods that have been shown to be beneficial for preventing strokes, things like green tea, whole grain nuts, you need lots and lots of omega-3, and we have the wrong ratio. We need to reset our ratio of high-density lipids to low-density lipids.